Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So I awoke this morning to reports that, you know what? There might be, possibly, could be a bipartisan solution to our health care problems. I am not making this up. Politico is reporting this morning that Lamar Alexander is, you know, working with, you know, some Republicans and some Democrats to move forward. You've seen Tom Reed of New York and Charlie Dent of Pennsylvania talking about, hey, how can we promote healthcare legislation that's going to, you know, fund the cost sharing subsidies? You know, those cost sharing subsidies that Senator Ted Cruz of Texas said was just a bailout for the insurance company. And that Democrats are just apologists for big insurance. You go, really? It just makes you wonder sometimes. But here to talk a little bit about the stay of execution for now and maybe what we should be doing. I've asked our good friend John Fetterman to come talk with us. John's the mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania, also a former U.S. Senate candidate. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Great to be here.
So, stay of execution.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now Republicans can't pass pizza and or deliver pizza, or what is it, pass gas or deliver pizza, as they say. And I think the fact that they're willing to even entertain this now just shows that they got nothing, and they have nothing because they understand the intellectual and moral bankruptcy of trying to just unilaterally repeal Obamacare when it has delivered for so many millions of Americans. So. The simple fact that they're even entertaining that, again, is the ultimate signal that they know that they, are completely, intellectually bankrupt on it.
Yeah, but here again, I mean, even if there is some bipartisan movement forward, I mean, the different camps, in my view, just seem to be so far apart. In fact, you know, one of the things Lamar Alexander is standing on is there has to be a reduction in the essential benefits. And I'm of the mindset, what's the point of having insurance if it doesn't cover anything?
Well, I mean, it's like we need to put the debate in this country to bed that health care is somehow optional, or health care is like, well, it's nice if you can get it. It's like health care is a basic fundamental right. No different than food, no different than shelter, no different than water. And it's like, and once we finally embrace that, you know, from a moral standpoint in this country, the decisions will flow from that. And whether it's moving towards single payer, or whether it's the hybrid option that was originally discussed, the public option as part of Obamacare, we need a mechanism that provides health coverage for all Americans, regardless of their ability to pay, because, again, health care is a fundamental human right.
Well, I agree with you. I disagree with the idea that we've had the conversation around food, water, and air, because I don't think that's...
No, we have it. I'm saying we need to have it.
Okay,
like, you have Republicans that are, like, treating health care like it's optional. Like, okay, you know, 23 million Americans lose their health care, and it's like, well, you know, it'll all work out, you know, in the morning. It's like you know that the decision you take to repeal this bill will result in the death, statistically, actuarially, of tens of thousands of people, and you're okay with that. You know, what does that say about your soul? What, I mean, you know, when did you lose your grace? You know,
well, these are, but remember, and again, as I started off the show with, these are the people who believe in family values. These are the Christian folk.
Yeah, well, I've never seen anyone act so anti, you know, un-Christ-like by talking about. I mean, I seem to remember a lot from my catechetical class that Jesus was really, he really liked the poor, and he really wanted to look out for them, and they seem to have lost that in translation here. This new cruelty that emerges, where you just want to unilaterally pull health coverage from tens of millions of Americans just so you can give yourself a political talking point, is, again, it's just morally bankrupt. And I don't know why the party, the Republican Party, has lost their way so badly that they would consider this a strategy.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. You know, I've been talking about Perry County, up, you know, a little bit north of where I live, that did not have a hospital in the entire county before the ACA, and now is building some clinics and a bit of infrastructure. And I said, you know, had they pulled the ACA away, and look, Trump's still talking about not funding it, so it could go away anyway. I was saying that if the ACA goes away and that insurance Medicaid expansion goes away, even that little bit of health network that they're building now gets pulled out from them as well. And I look at a community like yours, same kind of thing.
Yeah, we lost our hospital, and it's not as severe as what you're talking about in the county, but we lost our hospital, and guess what? We got an urgent care clinic, and it has saved lives. And it's like, I don't care, you know, rich, poor, white, black, you know, whoever you are, you will need health care at one point in time, and you will be a sick person. And that's the essence of insurance, is that the healthy people underwrite the expenses of the sick, and one day when the healthy people are sick, it's the cycle, and that's how it works. And the Republicans demonstrate a fundamental lack of how insurance works at a basic level, and they marry that to this unflinching cruelty to go after the most vulnerable people in our society and deny them health care when they themselves are the recipients of platinum government-funded health care. And I find it unconscionable, and I find it outrageous.
Yeah, were you surprised John McCain came back for the vote?
No, I'm not surprised, but I'm not in the cheerleading section for John McCain for having him do the right basic thing, decent thing, you know? Like, it's like your choice is either repeal Obamacare, take health insurance away from, you know, whatever CBO number it is, 25 million, 30 million Americans, knowing that tens of thousands will die each year, or vote against it. It's like, you know, I just think that while I'm glad he did the right thing, I don't know why anyone else would want to do the wrong thing. And they could find a constructive way to improve it. Or if Donald Trump really wanted to get, you know, Jedi, he could go for Medicaid for all or Medicare for all. I mean, who knows? But this whole idea that you're going to kick 30 million people off insurance as a winning strategy is just a new level of cruelty that has quite frankly surprised, you know, even me, that has always had a real cynical view of the whole process.
Yeah, I mean, but I look at it, and again, the fact that they were willing to and wanted to and out there, you know, cheerleading the fact that they wanted to take insurance away from people who voted for them. And that's the weird thing, because if you look at this last election, a lot of those people who would lose their health care, they were people who voted for them.
And it's the Thomas Frank, what's wrong with Kansas phenomenon, where your people are voting against their own economic and social benefit and interest. And you know, but if there's a lesson to be learned from this, is that the Republicans aren't afraid to get behind something that has a 16% approval rating to try to get it done. And I say this about Democrats. It's like, we could learn from that and say, look, we need to get behind this. We need to start defending this. And all the Democrats that refused to campaign on it or to talk about it when they were running earlier now realize that, hey, this Affordable Care Act, these are important core Democratic principles. And we should always be proud to defend them and stand up to them, no matter whether they're, you know, no matter what they're polling at 50% or at 20%. You know, you stick to what's right and you stick to the core values. And that's what's going to build our party strength over time, not simply just kind of responding to whatever's polling popularly right now. And, and we as a party have to decide that we're going to fight for these things. We are, as a party, going to have to decide that healthcare is a basic fundamental human right, and work backwards from that idea. And that either turns into a public option that's part of Obamacare, or that turns into single payer.
No, I'm right there with you. But here's the thing. I mean, I'm curious your thoughts on the quote-unquote better deal. I mean, because I've been saying for a very long time the Democrats need to find their spine, take back the message, and then stand on principle. Where's the party of FDR?
Yeah.
I'm not fond of the party of Clinton and the finger in the wind and whichever the polls go. They need to stand on principle, as you're pointing out. But I'm curious your thoughts on the better deal.
Again, nobody's going to remember that phrase. You know, tell me what the Senate Democrats' phrase was from 2014, you know? Nobody remembers these weird slogans and they're all focus tested or whatever. You know, Democrats have to start playing smash mouth politics and start saying, because we're on the right side of things. You know, this isn't we're trying to sell something that isn't true, or we're trying to sell something that is just morally off. It's like we're selling the truth about where our society is going and where the Republicans want to take it. And we have to get energized, and we have to get aggressive, and we have to start going after them the same way that they had started going after us and really eating our lunch, you know, and in states like Pennsylvania. It never should have been close, and Donald Trump never should have won, let alone had to be close. And that's because, again, we as a party, just have to, whether it grow a spine or whatever metaphor, and just start hitting people metaphorically in the mouth with the right core principles and values that this party stands for.
No, I'm right there with you. But again, that message of making people's lives better, which is what Trump and the Republicans tried to trot out. And look, you know, a good number of voters thought that the Republicans were going to make their lives better, even though I think most people who pay attention to this stuff kind of knew we were going to be right here.
Well, I mean, it's like I think a lot of people voted for Trump because, quite frankly, that there are parts of this state that I'm very familiar with out here where they've just lost hope. And it's like, well, we've had a Democrat here for so long, let's try something else. I mean, it's like they voted for Trump equal parts, I'd say, out of inspiration or desperation. And we have to own that as a Democratic Party as well, that we let people down in a lot of these communities and places like Manassas or McKeesport or these kind of places. You know, they deserve to have investment. They deserve to be rebuilt. And we have to acknowledge our party's role in courting too much corporate, too much big money, and forgetting these small places that have been suffering immeasurably through unfair trade practices and trade deals.
So where do you see things going? I mean, is the healthcare thing dead, do you think? Or will this become a zombie thing that pops back up in September?
Yeah, this is the Jason in the movies. It's just like no matter what they do, he's going to, you know, jump out of the next closet. They're never going to let this go because they have too much capital in it. And I don't see it going bipartisan because Trump's radioactive, you know, to any Democrat. You would never want to be seen as working with him, and you wouldn't want to give them the victory. So it's going to become, are we going to find enough votes on the Republican side? And they're never going to let it go. And they're going to do it regardless of what the cost is going to be to the most vulnerable members of our society. And that to me is what makes it so unforgivable to know the CBO score, to know you're talking tens of millions of vulnerable, you know, men, women, and children, and you still want to do this simply for a political talking point. Again, I just find it breathtakingly cruel, and that's not the party that the Republican Party that I remember when I was growing up, and I don't see how it can be the Republican Party on a sustainable basis because I just feel that it's jumped the shark with Donald Trump.
Let me finish up with that. I mean, because, you know, I started the show off basically with the Republican Party basically has lost their soul entirely. I mean, they used to be the party of family values, of personal responsibility. Yet you see Sarah Huckleberry Sanders saying, well, you know, the president was joking about increasing police brutality. And, hey, any father would basically tell his kids to lie and make stuff up. That's not the family values. And I'm just... or the personal responsibility that I remember coming from that party.
No, it's just like there's going to be a critical mass of Republicans that are going to say tax cuts for the wealthy and some of these other boutique special interests are not worth having this disgraceful individual representing our country. Whether it's talking trash with North Korea like some kind of, you know, boxing brawl or professional wrestling. I mean, like this isn't professional wrestling. There's serious consequences.
Yep.
And, people had outrage fatigue. I have outrage fatigue. Every day, it's just like you literally can't keep up with it. And it's just like, oh, what's he done now? And pretty soon, if it hasn't happened already, people have tuned it out. And, you know, we as a Democratic Party now have to find our own voice, and we have to come back strong against this kind of stuff, because there isn't that scandal right now that's going to change. I mean, how much has happened where you just, it's like, okay, whatever. And we in this party need to capitalize on that. And I don't see it happening. I still see us, you know, going through the old Clinton-Sanders proxy wars and not uniting behind, you know, what it means to be a core Democrat, and spending millions of dollars on these silly races like John Ossoff's race in Atlanta, and worrying about things that I don't think we as a party should be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to get fixed and a lot to be doing. And, John, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Look forward to having you back real soon.
Anytime, Rick. Thank you so much for having me.
Always good talking to our friend John Fetterman. Let's take a quick break. Right back. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. For working people, come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.